This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Were you able to grab that soundbite, Nicole, that I was looking for?
Oh, it's almost ready. I'm grabbing it right now.
Okay, so I'm listening to CBS News there. And, I'm really busy putting together the upcoming hour of the radio show, so I can't just sit and laser in. But I thought I heard them say that the price of Christmas trees is going up in part because of wildfires here in our state. And have you noticed this trend line that the Bidenflation that President Joe is responsible for, it's some of the worst inflation in more than 30 years. Gas prices are up over $4 a gallon in many places in our state, over $5 a gallon in California. He's begging OPEC to pump more, please pump more oil. And OPEC said, no, we're not going to pump any more oil. We had oil independence before Joe Bidenflation took over. And now he has to beg other countries, some of which aren't that horribly fond of us, please give us more. It wasn't necessary. 4 years before that, food at the grocery store, ground beef, still $7.99 a pound for the 20% fat. I mean, that's the fattiest, which, by the way, is the best for a hamburger. You got to have some fat for flavor, you know. That's why the rib steak is so good, but I can't eat that much fat anymore. But everything has gone up dramatically, and gas prices have such a trickle-down effect since almost everybody is getting their retail purchases delivered to their homes. Then that is factored in, how much extra it's costing you. Okay, I got to listen to this. I listened to it live with one ear, so here's what was on CBS News.
But they're getting harder to find and more expensive. Experts say...
Talking about Christmas trees.
But they're getting harder to find and more expensive. Experts say the pandemic and supply chain issues are driving that shortage. Weather disasters like wildfires in the Pacific Northwest have also destroyed some supply.
We have fires in the Pacific Northwest every single year. So why is this year considered special? In fact, the biggest fire of 2021 doesn't even make the list of the top 50 fires ever in our state. The biggest fires ever in Washington State. There's one, the Cold Springs a year ago, 2020. Then before that, 2015, 14, 1902, 1929. 1902 and 1929 are the fourth and fifth biggest wildfires? Who was putting out the carbon emissions then? Just have a bunch of cows standing around farting? 2015, 2000, 1970, 2016, 2006, 1910 again. So nothing this year makes the list of the top 100, I guess this is, wildfires ever in Washington State. And yet we can blame wildfires for Christmas tree prices going up. No. Media outlets do that to give Joe Biden cover because they don't want everybody to know that all of this inflation is on Joe. Your Thanksgiving dinner is going to cost 31% more this year than last year. Your Christmas tree is going to cost dramatically more. Oh, and then, Nicole, did I tell you about my Christmas tree nightmare dilemma thing yesterday?
No, I have not heard this.
Okay, so my friend Bruce and I have been friends since high school. He's a very, very good friend. And for similar reasons, we both decided that about 6 years ago that we were going to get, and I still am a little embarrassed about this, but that we were going to get a fake Christmas tree. And the reason why is every single Thanksgiving, day after Thanksgiving Friday for, I don't know, 20 years, we'd get all the girls in the minivan, and there was this one tree farm out near Duval, and we'd go and we'd walk around, pick out the tree and saw it down and hope it didn't fall off the top of the car, and drink some hot cocoa, and you'd stir the peppermint sticks in it. And it was just a lovely, lovely family tradition. But when our girls started getting older, they didn't want to go every year to go cut down a Christmas tree. It just, they were over that. There wasn't much novelty. So I thought, well, my wife and I aren't going to go, just the two of us, to cut down a tree. So I decided to get an artificial tree. And I did a bunch of research. And Bruce, independently, he did a bunch of research. And we kind of landed on the same mail, you know, company where you order from across the country. And they're very expensive for the most realistic looking trees. It's kind of embarrassing how expensive they are, but I'm going to say it because it'll give you an idea of how I figured out, well, how many years would I have to use this before it pays for itself? Because trees were costing over $100 for a new fresh tree. And, you know, they're the needles everywhere as the tree gets past Christmas and disposing of it, all that stuff. So I paid about $1,200.
What?
For a fake Christmas tree.
Oh my goodness. You didn't check Costco.
No, I've seen those. They're okay.
Oh man. They're
good. No, this one you could not tell. And it was pre-lit and had switches so you could turn on just white lights or just the colored lights, or you could turn on the white and the colored lights all at once. And it's just lovely. But it comes in five pieces. And every time you put one piece on top of it, you know, first you have your base piece. And then you put the next piece up on that. And then you have to find about five different plug-ins near the trunk of this tray. And they're kind of color-coded, but it's just a pain. And sometimes you just can't find where everything is plugging in. And then you put a third piece on top. Anyway, it's five pieces. It's 13 feet. And about, I don't know, probably a quarter of it didn't light up last year.
Oh, no.
So anyway, Bruce yesterday is putting up his tree that he got from the same company. And he's had it, too. And he said, I think I'm just going to rip off all the lights and just put a new strand on. And it took him 30 minutes to rip the lights off, you know, that were pre-lit on
wow,
the tree.
Wow, I'm surprised he could.
And I said, you know what? I might just go back to that company. I don't want to reward them with another $1,000 purchase. But I said, the first couple of years, it worked great and plugged in easily and all of that. And now I think we'll just carry it out in one piece. We'll get a bunch of guys and we'll carry it out to the garage and I'll never have to plug stuff in again. And Bruce goes, yeah, good luck. Everything on the site is 50% more than it was when we bought the trees. And they aren't shipping because they're waiting for stuff from China to get to them. So they can't deliver. So, you know, I've told you this. The reason I hired this kid to put up my Christmas lights is because I love the end result, and it's beautiful, and I don't have any frustration. And now I'm already starting to have the flop sweat of frustration on Thanksgiving night with the Christmas tree, wondering how many lights are going to be on. Isn't that a harrowing tale?
Oh, my goodness. And another, I mean, you know, Costco doesn't pay me. I give them a lot of money, but if it was a Costco tree, you just take it back, tell them it doesn't work, they give you a new one.
But truly, they look like artificial trays at Costco.
I'm not sure that you've seen the latest ones. I mean, they do a little. I mean, you're giving up the real look by getting an artificial tree in the first place.
But the only way I could bridge the emotional gap between cutting down a tree and getting this one was if I got the most realistic looking one.
We actually, my family and my parents get the Costco trees, like the real trees that they bring in every year. And I got to tell you, they are awesome. They are every time. You get them all bundled up and it freaks us out, but every time they're perfect. So you could just get a real one from Costco.
Yeah, but then I'm going backwards in life.
Yeah, well.
And here's
you have a couple extra steps there. You'll have to clean up some needles.
As I mentioned, my son-in-law and daughter, they're traveling out of the country to someplace dangerous. And he was kind of the guy who could figure out where everything plugged in together. Now, another daughter's got a new boyfriend, and that's going to be his trial by fire. If he can get the Christmas tree plugged together for me, then then he's got potential.
You've made this way too much.
Well, this is the kind of thing I realize. This is what we're all going through right now in life. Your Christmas trees are costing more if they're fresh. You can't even get them if they're fake Bidenflation trees. The lights are going out. Can't get any oil for powering our vehicles to go to Grandma's house. That's America in a nutshell, right there, crying out loud. Okay, should I move on to the Fast 15 now?
Oh, please, yes.
Okay, I was enjoying it.
first world problems.
In the aftermath of the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict, and this is not to criticize any one TV station. I like all of our local TV stations. I get frustrated at times with all of our local TV stations. But the one thing that is particularly frustrating is after the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict, I know that roughly, my best guess, 90% of the people agreed with the not guilty verdict. And the 10% who didn't agree with it undoubtedly didn't watch much of the trial or had just heard endless media lies told about the trial. So as I'm watching, though, on Friday afternoon and Friday's 11 o'clock news, if you watched local TV news, you would think that 100% thought that Rittenhouse was guilty of murder. And one of the stations, I'm not going to name the stations because I don't like the stations, but they talked to the CEO for the Alliance for Gun Responsibility. She's upset, of course.
I think outrage is more the emotion that I felt. Really outraged at this miscarriage of justice.
She was outraged that an innocent kid isn't being sent to prison for the rest of his life. That's a weird kind of outrage. And then a Seattle constitutional law attorney, he said that it seemed fair, but
I think we'll see a tremendous surge in vigilantism. People will feel emboldened. They'll feel justified that they can use force. They'll feel justified that they can walk around carrying weapons. I think in the broader social context, this is really a terrible decision.
Wait. It's a terrible decision because people might feel like they have an easier ability to exercise their constitutional rights. None of this, and this guy's a constitutional law attorney. And he says that finding an innocent young man not guilty of murder is a terrible decision because it might embolden vigilantes. None of this coverage made sense to me at all. And again, they talked to the gun responsibility person.
I think what happened today really undermines our First Amendment rights as citizens in this country.
Yeah, all right. And then people were all surprised.
I was kind of surprised that it was not guilty.
I don't think justice was served.
Was there any attempt to find the 90% of the people who said, yeah, it's clear he wasn't guilty? All three shootings were clearly proven to be self-defense. But I didn't hear any of that on the newscasts. It was like everybody was upset and thought that he was guilty. And as for Kyle Rittenhouse, he's doing an exclusive interview with Tucker Carlson tonight. They've released a couple of previews. He says that he was just sick after the shoot.
I tell everybody there what happened. I said I had to do it. I was just attacked. I was dizzy. I was vomiting. I couldn't breathe.
And he also says that he supports Black Lives Matter.
This case has nothing to do with race. It never had anything to do with race. It had to do with the right to self-defense.
Right.
I'm not a racist person. I support the BLM movement. I support peacefully demonstrating. And I believe there needs to be change. I believe there's a lot of prosecutorial misconduct, not just in my case, but in other cases. And it's just amazing to see how much a prosecutor can take advantage of somebody.
And how much the prosecutor just blatantly lied. And a prosecutor's job is not to get a guilty conviction. A prosecutor's job is to arrive at justice. And it was quite evident that this prosecutor was much more interested in the outcome than a fair process. But if you watch the news over the weekend, everybody in America was outraged by the decision. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
In 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Check the news for you, and then the special agent in charge of the Northwest region for Homeland Security, Robert Hammer. We're going to bring down the hammer and talk about what's going on with the drugs that are killing so many of our kids and sisters and brothers. That's all straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show.
This hour of the Dory Monson Show is brought to you by Insulation Northwest.
Stop. Have a time.
A couple of weeks ago, we told you about a bust that had been made here in Seattle. The man was named Giovanni Cota Valenzuela. And what we know about this guy is he came across our now completely unchecked, wide-open southern border. He came right up the I-5 corridor here into Seattle and King County, and he had quite a stash of drugs with him. He was muling 48 grams of cocaine and fentanyl, 143 grams of methamphetamines, another 25 grams of fentanyl and cocaine, on and on it goes, 109 grams of M30 blue pills. This is a serious problem. We have a lot of especially young men dying on our streets because of fentanyl overdoses, and it's such an overwhelming job. But Department of Homeland Security does a fantastic job working on this. It's hammer time. Special agent in charge of our region for Homeland Security, Robert Hammer. He joins us once again here on the Dory Monson Show. Are you sick of people saying hammer time around you?
No, absolutely not. You got to represent law enforcement. You got to make sure we're bringing a strong presence here.
Okay, there you go. So let's start with this guy. That is this a rather typical case where they just find a mule, get as many drugs and guns and cash into his hands, they put him up in a motel down by Pioneer Square? How many Valenzuelas are there out there?
Well, unfortunately, we've seen a real uptick in the number of individuals couriering narcotics on behalf of the cartels into the Pacific Northwest, as well as, you know, now that we're the border starting to open with Canada, they're opportunistic, as you know, and looking for money. So They're stopping. They're continuing to flood this region, and then now they're seeing a new opportunity with the Canadian border being open as well.
Well, and man, they had record overdoses last year up in Vancouver. They said having a heroin injection site would help solve the problem, and instead it is just zombie town around there, and they are having record overdoses. And then we are talking about doing a similar site or two in Seattle and King County. And Agent Hammer, none of this is making any sense to me.
Yeah, it's, the overdose numbers are just scary. You know, I think, you know, people need to sit there and think about 100,000 Americans died last year to fentanyl overdoses. I mean, like, that is a lot of people, and it is a sheer number. And we as a country need to wake up to the dangers that this drug poses and the just large availability that this drug is flooding our streets. And at every turn, we are seeing not only more seizures. I know you mentioned, you know, several grams and pills, but our typical seizures are kilograms. And that's multiple pounds of fentanyl that we're interdicting on the I-5 corridor through these cartels that are trying to send it up here. And just to put it in perspective, just for this region alone, just for the Pacific Northwest, and just my agency, because this is a concerted effort amongst all law enforcement, myself with HSI, DEA, Seattle PD, we're doing lots of good things together. But just for my agency alone, we went from 38 pounds seized last year to 225 pounds this year. So, I mean, that is almost a tenfold increase in the amount of raw fentanyl that we are seizing. And just for context, if you guys think about, you know, when the consumer, or, you know, when you see the overdoses with kids overdosing, they're taking typically the pill form. The 225 pounds at a 1 pound of that stuff can make 500,000 pills. And so we are just being flooded with, you know, millions and millions of pills in this region of fentanyl that, you know, despite our best efforts and concerted and coordinated efforts amongst federal, state, and local law enforcement, the cartels just continue to pummel the country, but specifically this region, with these pills.
Well, and I want to put that staggering number you just gave of 100,000 deaths a year. That is the equivalent of about a 9/11 every week and a half. Like a steady drumbeat throughout the year in America. That would get you up to about 100,000 deaths. So I don't want to pit you against any other governmental agencies, but wouldn't it make sense if we got our southern border more under control? Because it has now become a sieve in the last year or so, and a lot of people were being stopped for 4 years, and now it's just wide open again. Isn't that a huge part of this problem?
Well, I saw some data that talked about some intelligence analysis that went into analyzing the patterns of the cartels. And I think that there were some stockpiles during the initial onset of COVID when everything was shut down. And so they weren't able to get their product into the country. And there is some correlation to the fact that the you know, some of the borders have opened back up now, and the increased flow that's coming across. I mean, they had a log jam per se in their labs, and so I think they've had a Black Friday, if you want to call it that, trying to get everything up into the country, because they've been stockpiling for a while. So I think that there's been some built up supply pressure on the Mexico side. But then I think we also have to think about define the border. I mean, we're talking about the southwest border with our Mexican cartels. We're talking about now, you know, a cyber border and all the dark web transactions that are taking place. We also have the air border here with SeaTac and up in all the shipments that are coming across from China. We're seeing large amounts of fentanyl-related substances where people can make their own pills in their house. And so it's really a multifaceted attack that we've got to again partner with all of our law enforcement efforts. And I know CBP, our brethren at Customs and Border Protection, trying to hold the wall down there on the southwest border, hold the line and try to make sure that they can stop whatever they can seize down there. But these are some you know, really, you know, I don't want to give them credit, but they're pretty ingenuous. There's a lot of ingenuity in terms of their smuggling tactics and how they get these things in. And quite frankly, you know, the heroin and the cocaine and the marijuana that we used to see from the cartels, Those required there were larger in quantity, so they were harder. Harder to smuggle. But the fentanyl is so small, you can smuggle it in anything, and so it's just really hard to find all those nooks and crannies that are these folks coming across. So kudos to the men and women on the front line down there that are doing their best to try and stop this stuff.
Yep. Okay, I wasn't planning on this, but this is all just absolutely fascinating. So Robert Hammert has agreed to spend the rest of the half hour with us as we will talk more about this plague that is the root of so many of our problems in this region. Our conversation with Hammer Time will continue here on the Dory Monson Show. Homeland Security Special Agent in charge of our region, Robert Hammer. And Robert, I wasn't expecting to take your whole half hour here, but you're telling us about some really interesting things that people need to know, because I'm still advocating for making drugs, once again, illegal here in King County. Couple of other things. Our Attorney General last week announced he's suing three pharmaceutical companies because of opioids. What I asked is, the same attorney general, the previous 4 years, he sued the Trump administration 82 times for various things that were injurious to the people of our state. Wouldn't it make more sense to go after the administration about how open our borders are rather than to go after the pharmaceutical? And I'm not saying they need to be mutually exclusive as well, but I just don't understand focusing on pharmaceutical companies when it is so clear that so much of this problem is just streaming in from China to Mexico, across the border to Seattle, King County.
Yeah, no, I think what you're describing is really just an all hands on deck approach. As we talked about, this is really impacting so many Americans in a deadly way. And I think, you know, the pharmaceutical companies, as indicated by the Attorney General, certainly played a role in enhancing and enabling the opioid epidemic. From an intelligence standpoint, as we see, as the pharmaceutical companies are putting more restrictions in, they're becoming more, you know, cautious in the amount of drugs that are going out. More restrictions are being placed on some of these pill mills and these doctors that were just prescribing thousands upon thousands of painkillers at a time. What that's doing is it's putting additional pressure now on the cartels to pick up that demand, because the demand hasn't changed. It's just the supply. And so we need to make sure that we're squeezing both sides, both the pharmaceutical companies as well as the cartels, to make sure that, you know, we shut off supply on both sides. If you have two spigots leaking in your house, and you shut one of them off, your house is still going to flood. So we got to make sure we shut them both off to make sure that we have, as restrictive as possible, the amount of opioids that are on the streets of America.
I've also contended that King County is probably the easiest place in the United States to be a drug addict, because we have a de facto legalization. We do not prosecute any personal possession amounts of heroin or meth. And that as long as we're going to attract so many homeless, drug addicted people who commit crime to feed their use, then we can build all the shelters we want. But as long as even more people are flooding here because of the ease of being a drug addict, is that something? Because I contend we should make drugs illegal again and not just have this crazy policy. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so I guess I'll give you a personal story that I didn't really have until last night. I went to the Seahawks game last night with my son, and we were walking back to the car, and a homeless individual started harassing this couple in front of us, spit on this lady, and then this her dad was there. He's probably 60-something years old. You know, he tried to, you know, get the individual away from his daughter that he just was spit on, and the guy swung at him and knocked the guy out, fell back, cracked his head on the sidewalk, and was knocked out unconscious. And guy took off, and I followed him, and I'm calling 911, and I'm saying, hey, look, you know, I'm an off-duty officer. I'm following this individual. He just assaulted this individual who's knocked out, you know, and they had people rendering aid on the side for this guy. And for 30 minutes, I begged for, you know, a police officer to come and get this guy. Yeah. And eventually, you know, he disappeared into a back alley, but it's just, you know, I think that, you know, we have to make sure that we are supporting law enforcement and enabling these guys to protect the city and from all crimes, from whether it's drugs, from assault, from violence. It's a slippery slope. And so I just having experienced it firsthand last night on the streets of downtown, it's a scary endeavor, just from a personal standpoint.
And my heart breaks for that man. And do you know if he ever got help?
Yeah, no. So we were able to get EMS there, and EMS came immediately. It was just getting the police there that was a challenge. But he was transported to the hospital, and his daughter went with him. But anyhow, it's just that these are probably just very, unfortunately, common stories of what's going on down there. But I mean, we have to make sure we're supporting Seattle law enforcement.
Amen. Well, I know I speak for my listeners, because there's just too much knee-jerk hatred of law enforcement, but I know I speak for my listeners when I say I appreciate you and all of your colleagues very, very much. It's too often a thankless job, but sure appreciate that you are out there fighting the fight.
No, absolutely. And so can I just give a public information announcement here.
Yeah.
On terms of fentanyl and an education thing, I just want to make sure we're seeing two emerging trends I want to make sure the public's aware of. First is traditionally fentanyl has been pressed into pills, and so that's where you hear those M30s and the blue pills and Oxycontin making it look like that. We're starting to see just raw fentanyl being changed into different colors and making them look fun, like, you know, hot pink and neon colors. And they're selling just raw fentanyl in colors. And then also we've seen some marijuana that's been laced with fentanyl now. And so, you know, I think, again, the public needs to be very careful about what they're putting in their body, because it is a deadly gamble that they're taking.
Well, I mean, you piqued my interest. So it is just a pure colored fentanyl pill? It's not mixed with the heroin or the cocaine? It's just pure fentanyl?
Yeah, it's got some fentanyl, and it's cut with some other things. But what they're trying to do now, and we're seeing this more coming down from the Canada, is again, they're dyeing it different colors to make it look fun and exciting, you know, as a highlighter color. But again, it's even more deadly than before.
So for the dealers, it's just worth it to them because it is so powerfully addicting, the fentanyl, much more so than the heroin or the cocaine. So for them, it's worthwhile to kill off a bunch of their potential customers for the upside benefit from their criminal mind of having people so physically addicted to this stuff? I mean, is that the calculus that they're making here?
I think the other is always economics. And so, you know, let's keep that in perspective. Fentanyl is cheaper to produce, and it gives a higher, you know, high than opioids, than, you know, heroin and cocaine. So the high is stronger, and yet it's cheaper. And so from an addict's perspective or from a drug user's perspective, if you don't have money, you're going to use what, you know, if you can get a better high at a cheaper price, then that's probably the product we're going to go with. I mean, so you know, sometimes rationale is common sense, and not really in terms of the risk kind of goes out the window when you're talking about some drug addicts. But at the same time, I think that my belief is that economics plays into this.
It always does.
So the profit margin is larger for the cartels, and the cost for the user is lower. Therefore, it's almost like a perfect storm in terms of the demand.
Well, it's outrageous that you guys don't have more help in stopping this problem. And we haven't even gotten into the issue of human trafficking, which I know we'll talk about sometime in the future as well, because that is another just horribly degrading, soul-killing thing that is happening all too often as well. So I know that's another thing you're on guard for. Robert, I always really appreciate your time. And like I said, appreciate the job all of you do.
I appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your staff. And happy Thanksgiving to all law enforcement that's going to be out there protecting the community during that day.
Yes. God bless you all. All right. Thank you, Robert. Special Agent Robert Hammer, in charge of our Region 4 Homeland Security. And it is nasty out there. And we've got to get away from legalizing drugs, because that is, I'm convinced, that is the root of all of our problems. The murder, the homelessness, the property crime, and then all these overdoses, of course. Love to hear your thoughts. You can text me at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. We'll check the news. And then the Fast 15 coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.